Like Louis Armstrong, break the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. With me, The Solution, and joining me today is Christina.
Afternoon.
Solution. How are you?
Been better.
Yeah, I think better. There'll be a sentiment, and it's not going to be good. But part of the 10-year anniversary festivus of the Windsock, we have Windsock OG member live from The Hague in Holland. Tell me there's another podcast that can say that today. Another Eston podcast. The Apprentice, welcome back.
Thanks, Solution. I'll say good morning because it's morning where I am. But, yeah, great to be back. For a good time. Let's see.
Now, mate, it's great. It is great to have you back. Your accent has kind of leveled slightly because really deep down you're a boy from Shepparton.
This is true. This is true. Although I don't have a Dutch accent, that's fair to say, right? Some people sound disappointed that I don't come across with a very Dutch accent.
Smoking a pancake.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
All the Dutch. I promise you, there'll be no fingers in dykes jokes. Promise you.
Don't make promises you can't keep. Solution.
True. Very true. Very true. All right. So we're going to get into it now. I've said this on the podcast before. I'm quite fortunate that I will, whatever the result, win, lose, draw, I normally walk away and I'm fine afterwards. I can get angry through the game. Apprentice, you might remember the time that Stewie Lowe wanted to beat me up. Do you remember that?
The death stare was amazing. And, you know, we've been friends for a long time, Solution. There's been a few times where I've wanted to distance myself from how close we are in terms of friends. This was definitely one of them. That death stare from, what? How many rows in front of us was he?
Like
not,
two.
Not enough. Not enough. Yeah, mate. I think you made a comment about Goddard. He was playing for St Kilda at the time, if I recall correctly, and his family.
Yeah, I might have got a bit personal. Yeah, potentially. I don't actually remember what I said. I have come down a bit since then. So you didn't have my back, is that what you're telling me?
Look, when it comes down to it, some run towards the danger, some run away from it. and you never really know, right, until the shit hits the fan. I would have run like... I would have climbed and pushed mothers and children out of the way to get away from that one, I can tell you.
George Costanza style.
Exactly.
He's just lucky. He's lucky he backed down. That's all I can say. But anyway, my point was going to be, usually I have a level of equanimity at the end of the game. I'm quite relaxed. I was angry last night. I was angry today. I actually found an object for my anger this afternoon. Oh, fuck it. I might as well say it now. I was going to say it in the douche. What a douche of the week nomination. Our suburb at the moment is having its hard rubbish collection. And, you know, you remember those? Do you have them in Holland, Prince?
No, they're far too organised over here. They don't have this big mountains of clutter and joy for people to find. They do it in a far more organised way.
Of course they do. Well, anyway, so what happened is that I put all my shit out. I'm just putting the rest of it out. This guy comes up in the truck. Like, it's amazing how quick they are. Gets out of the truck. And he's sniffing around and he goes, oh, nothing good here. And I go, oh, sorry, mate. Would you like me to go back and get my, like, TV that I use, my good TV? And this guy goes, yeah, that'd be good. And I'm like, all right. I regret it because if you're going to abuse somebody, make sure they don't know where you live. This guy obviously knows exactly where I live. I said, mate, I put this shit here that I don't need. I'm not going to go and put good stuff that I do need. So why don't you go to another house and fuck off? And then I walked in and slammed the door and then immediately regretted it again because he knew where I lived. But my point is I found an object for my anger. How are you guys feeling? What about you, Christina?
Well, I found it very difficult last night because of Twitter was basically down, so I couldn't vent any of my frustrations. I couldn't watch any replays of the game or look at Charlie Don's to look at all the free kicks that we should have got that we didn't. Last night I ended up just lying on the floor next to the heater and kind of just with a hot chocolate, just mulling it over, going, I probably should be in bed, but I'm too awake to go to bed. So I just lay there. So I don't think I coped very well, actually. I just stayed up until I got tired to when I knew that I could actually fall asleep. And today I'm still, pissed off. I can't claim this, but a crazy Thai name came up with the perfect word. It was Depressing Don.
Depressing Don, yeah.
Not Essendon, Depressing Don.
That's very, very good. What about you, Architect? Similar feelings, or did you go back and just start watching some freaky deaky Dutch TV?
Well, first thing, it's Apprentice, not Architect.
Oh, so yeah, sorry.
It's all good. It's been a while. You know, the OGs haven't been sniffing around. By the way, I really enjoyed the OG podcast. Not that I don't enjoy the current evolution, but it was nice to hear the dulcet tones of Sweeper, or the squeaky tones of Sweeper, and the dulcet tones of DJ again. For me, the game finished around 1:30 in the afternoon over here. So it's an 8-hour time difference, or maybe it was slightly later.
Okay.
So since then, I dove into other sports. So I watched the F1 sprint race. I watched the Ashes is, you know, pretty much on the same time zone, 1 hour earlier over there. So I managed to channel my frustrations into other sporting sporting contests, let's say. So I did have the opportunity to pick myself up. I did lie in the fetal position for a little while as well, Christina, so you're not on your own there. And then, yeah, the denial, my processing, I could avoid, let's say, thinking about it for a while by distracting myself with other sporting ventures. And alcohol, of course.
Yes, of course. I know Eredivisie, that hasn't started yet, has it?
That's just finished, I think.
All right. So who wants to, shall we just fucking do the game, Herd Henneman, rather than mull over? I personally think like that were probably the better team, and we would have pinched it. They should have been further ahead. But God, that Wiedemann shot for goal anyway. God, Apprentice, go. Oh. You heard Henneman, take your time. Give some nominations and then your awards.
I have to say. So this is the first time I've been on for ages, and the first time we've had. I think we've gone through a couple of coaches since the last time I was on. So I'll back up the truck a little bit and then dive in. But I mean, even looking at the first quarter, we should have been, I don't know, 25 points down or something. You know, they really kept us in it. Four to five goals should have been kicked, I think, in that first quarter. So we were lucky to still be in it. But having said that, what I like about this team and Brad Scott as a coach is we're never quite out of it. And we used to just drop our bundle and leak goals, and heads would go down. I didn't see that yesterday, and that was a really encouraging sign, I think, despite the fact and the end result. You know, historically, we've not been able to pick ourselves up and continue, and especially in those conditions. You know, it looked like it was really chucking it down in Melbourne.
You couldn't see the other side of the ground. Like, we were basically in the rain, and we didn't move, but it was cold and rainy and and the seagulls were trying to kill everyone, basically.
You're gonna hate me, Christina, but I was behind some glass with a nice Pinot Noir. But at the start, I thought, because it just the rains were sort of instant, and I was, what is this smoke on the ground? Oh, holy shit, it's rain. That's how kind of thick it was, or heavy, I should say.
Was people went to get cover. There were more seagulls in the MCC than there were members. Some of them must have left a box of chips or something, and they were just, it was the birds. It was Alfred Hitchcock. I'm not joking. They were just circling everyone, and it was genuinely a bit scary of, like, what are these seagulls doing?
Well, the MCC would have scampered really quickly because, you know, water and on what are they called? Charcuterie boards don't quite work. So yeah, they would have disappeared under the shelter pretty quickly, I would imagine.
Yeah, and a nice reference to the birds. We ended up being rear windowed by the umpire. I won't do any other Hitchcock references. Sorry. Continue, Prentice.
Not bad, mate. Not bad. Even despite that, it was still a pretty high skilled game, I thought, because you know, those conditions, it's quite extraordinary. And we don't play at the G very often, for one. And then, yeah, playing in those conditions, I thought it was still quite a highly skilled game, despite that, and a decent scoring game. But yeah, I mean, in terms of, should we jump straight to the result itself? I mean, that was extremely disappointing because that goal by Redmond really gave us a sniff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then who kicked the goal? Who kicked the goal immediately after that to get us in front?
Caldwell.
That goal was such great composure he showed. You know, that was amazing. The pressure on the kid. He's only recently back as well, right? Or is that Jake Kelly?
Kelly
performed quite well as well, I think. But I think in terms of the Hurd and Henneman, you've got to go straight to the big guy, don't you, in Wiedemann. That was just, I think you mentioned it last week, Solution, like Tarzan plays like Jane. He just doesn't seem to, he's on a different wavelength. It's like he's playing a different game, a different sport almost. It's almost embarrassing. I feel for the guy because he's got all of the attributes that should lend itself to being a really great elite key forward. You know, and some would argue that 2 metre Peter struggled yesterday, which he did, but he's only the second game back from a pretty long-term major injury as well. And those conditions with a shoulder, terrible, terrible combo. So I would say it's got to be the big guy. He had an opportunity to kick a really clutch goal that he should nail every time, I reckon. So, yeah, are there other candidates, I guess, is my question this week.
I mean, Durham was slightly better this week.
Agree.
With 2 metre, I think he got reamed by the umpires. He was being held so much by a Lira, is that who you say?
Yeah, he was too. He was really affected by a Lira, I think.
You've got to learn how to milk those moments to really get the eye of the umpire so that he gets like wave his arms up in the air or do something to actually draw attention so they will give him some free kicks.
One thing you can learn from Joe Danaher.
Yeah.
That didn't really come across on the TV so much, Christina. Was that more? It must have been more obvious at the game how much he was impeding him off the ball.
Yeah, there was a lot of holding going on.
Well, it was one of those ones where we won the free kicks in theory, like quite conclusively, 21-13. But they had the moments, like key moments, and key things that resulted in goals. And Peter Wright not getting free kicks should have been opportunities for us. I mean, that too high against Danny McGrath where the guy just runs into his arm. What are you meant to fucking do? There was a few of them. But, you know, you don't want to blame umpires for a game we should have won. But
Darcy Parrish missed a couple of kicks on goal that should have got as well. But, I think, unfortunately, might just have to be Wiedemann, you know. You don't want to do it, but you can't. You're paid to kick goals. That's your job. You got to do it. And that was his moment to kind of get that confidence back, to get the team in front. That was his moment to make it. And he stuffed it up.
Really. And I guess some players, when they move to a new club, they get a new lease on life and they, you know, the new environment and the new opportunities really take them to the next level. There's a lot of examples of that, but some just continue the same shit that they were doing at the previous club. And I think, unfortunately, at this stage, this is his second year, right?
No. And he was good. He was good at the start of the year. So maybe he just needs to rotate clubs every 5 games.
not a bad system there. That could be the solution. He's a clear candidate for mine. I think let's see also how that forward dynamic works. Can he play as a backman? I think we really lack a big guy down back that can really play on the Monsters. We're terribly undersized. If you look at our key backs, you know, it's we're terribly undersized back there. I think Laverde, Zirk Thatcher generally take the top two, and then you've got Ridley, you know, who sometimes takes the biggest guy but also intercepts and rebounds. We need another big guy back
there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Laverde, you should have seen, like, at the ground, Laverde next to Dixon.
Yeah.
It was back when we were allowed to tweet. I just said thoughts and prayers, Laverde, because he just looked like a different. And he kind of battled gamely. But when the ball comes down relatively easily, there's nothing those guys can do. Whereas we forget Fletcher just had those Inspector Gadget arms, and he saved it so many times. God, I miss that guy.
And Dixon's a monster as well. He's just an absolute mountain of a man. So, yeah, and that's what Laverde should only be playing on, I think, the third tour, basically. He'll match up quite well, I think, physically against those guys. He's a good player, but he's not a number one or two string defender, I think.
Agreed. I mean, Dylan Shield had a very... I mean, I obviously only played the last quarter, but he doesn't look up to it to me.
What did you think of that sub, guys? Like, not so much him coming on. I think it could have really worked out. But taking Menzies off was a bit of a... When he was... We needed that forward pressure, I thought, forward line pressure. It felt a bit odd. Maybe Wiedemann could have come off at that point, potentially, and we play a bit smaller. But what did you guys think of that?
I think because it was a wet, rainy day, you got to keep your small pressure players on. And you know, Dylan would have added to that, keeping Menzies on. But then you got to think, okay, well, who comes out? And, yeah, so maybe Wiedemann was the one that you would take out. Or, I mean, Guelphy kicked a couple of goals. Did he do a lot? I don't know. Did Snelling do much? A little bit here and there, but I think it's pretty rough to pull out Jai. Like, I think we need him for a whole game because he's Tassie. Yeah, he knows weather. Yeah, you know,
good
like,
point.
They know how to play in the wet weather. Same as even Darcy Parrish. Like, he loves the wet weather. But when he goes to a next level and other players drop off. So, yeah, I think it was an odd decision.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I would have taken Weed off. Conditions certainly didn't suit. But then again, he wasn't going well in the dry either. So
fair comment. We'll move on to the herd then.
By the way, can I just say that Sweetman's third in a row is now firmed into $1.10 for Henneman of the year. And Fiona may just quit the podcast, unfortunately. But, you know, there's no fear or favour when it comes to the herd and Henneman.
We don't want to keep nominating him. We want him to do well. Like, but you just got to judge the game on its merits.
Exactly. Yep.
And speaking of merits, thank you, Christina. I mean, he's a clear, I think he's the clear herd for the week. That tackle on Aaliyah was outrageously good. That was just, you know, Aaliyah tried the fend off, he tried to step away, and he wasn't going anywhere.
It was like little mini me fighting Austin Powers.
Yes, yeah.
Just like, you can't get off. he
wasn't around. Quite humping his leg. He wasn't quite humping his leg as mini me used to do. He should have.
That's the sort of thing Rampy would do, actually, and get away with it. When you're trying to kick for goal and then suddenly Rampy's humping your leg out on the full. Umpire does nothing. No 50. And the second Austin Powers reference in this podcast, very good. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it is very good, but it definitely is the second Austin Powers reference.
I was going to say... apprentice.
Yeah, go.
We you mentioned Merritts. We did have Merritts, you might remember, as in his brother. And you'll remember as a podcast OG, Shit Brother, was one of our first segments ever. Zach Merritt's brother has to be, he's officially a shit brother now, isn't he?
Oh, he has to be. He probably was already back when they started, yeah. To be honest. But,
yeah, what's his name again?
I'm always going to ask him something.
Jackson
Merritt. That's right.
I think he plays in Perth.
Ah, okay. Good, as far away from Essendon as possible. Oh, I sound mean saying that. Did you want to nominate anyone else? Any other? I mean, it's been about 6 years, mate. You might as well throw some hats in the ring.
Well, what I was going to say on Wiedemann, he can join the very elusive club soon of Essendon forwards, key forwards, that have never quite panned out. I think, what have we got? It wouldn't be a podcast if we haven't done a reference to Gumby. You know, when did Gumbleton last come up?
Well, last time he came up was my song, probably, Song of the Week. Do you remember that song?
I do, mate. Great to see the songs back, by the way, Solution. You had your muse or muses for a while there, so I think Caro was the bane of your existence, but I think you also secretly had something for Caro for a while there. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mate, I can tell you that was wrong. Trust me, if she was last on Earth and it was her and a wildebeest, I'm like, okay, wildebeest, let's go into the bushes.
Okay.
Like, it would not happen.
That's the first bestiality reference, but if we're keeping...
That's right, that's right. The bingo card's getting filled up. But what I will say is, I went through a bit of a creative dry patch. So I decided, well, what did the Beatles do? They took acid. So I've just been taking some LSD recently, and hence the songs have started to flow. Yeah.
Does that mean we need to take acid before we listen to your tunes, or should we just go in dry and...
Got to be drunk.
Okay. Good to know.
But I digress. Yeah, Gumby, Courtney Johns.
Courtney Johns. I was looking for the name. Yeah.
Who else?
Who else is on that elusive club?
No, there's been a few down the years. You go all the way back to Michael Werner. John Fidge. There's been some shockers.
Who was the bloke we got across from
Fitzroy, Doc Wilden?
Into a tram or something?
Yeah, and your internet connection's a bit sketchy there, mate, too.
I'll pedal faster. Sorry, mate.
Yes, please. You're in the land of pedaling. But, that was Doc Wilden, one of my favourite stories ever. He got drunk one night at Crown. And got run over by a taxi before the first train session. Never even pulled on a training jumper.
What a unit.
Yeah, he was a unit. And then he went down the country and I think kicked like 1,000 goals a year. He's one of those guys, he would have, like he was overweight when he played. So you could imagine what he was like when he retired. But anyway...
Definitely. So some other like let's say honourable mentions. I thought Phillips was really good in the ruck. I mean, he played against an undersized ruck, and maybe their big guy pulling out in the warm up. I think was quite good. And I think Solution, you can probably identify with this. Their ruckman was just maybe a few inches and a few years of experience less than what he needed to be.
So. I can relate. Yes.
So.
Definitely, millimetres. I count every millimetre. That's how important.
It's a game of inches, my friend.
it's a game of millimetres in my case.
Parrish was really good, I think, aside from, as you mentioned, Christina, he had the chance to really pick a clutch goal there as well. I mean, in the conditions, he pulled it across, and so that didn't quite work out for him. And Caldwell, I thought, played really well. In some really key moments. I think he's been there or thereabouts, but this was a really good game from him, I think, and showed great potential for the future. So they're kind of, I don't know about you guys, any players you want to mention as well?
Sounds about right. I mean, also Hobbs, I think, was really good. They I noticed in the second half they threw a lot more of the younger players in the centre bounces. And so we had, like, Caldwell and Hobbs, and I think even Perkins was in there for a little bit. And we kind of got a bit more kind of energy about us when they did that. It just kind of broke it up because Martin, I think they, I wouldn't say tagged him, but he was watched pretty closely by the Port player, so he didn't have the opportunity to have any influence.
Can we stop on him for a second? He's the guy that kicked the ball to then be marked, to then kill us with the goal after the siren.
Yes.
Was he lucky not to be mentioned at Henneman just for that fact?
It's a fair call. I mean, that was, I think you just get it and get it out of there. That kind of was the mentality you tried to take there, I guess. But, yeah, it's a hard one. It floated, and there was no Bombers player, I think, within a Bulls roar of where the ball went, if I recall. So I don't know about you, but that's popped up on my Twitter feed, and we'll get to Twitter maybe, I think, a bit later. But, yeah, the moment, the last minute or two has popped up. And that goal by Houston, by the way, that was a – he nailed it.
Oh, yeah.
I think in that moment you kind of almost need to go rugby union mentality of just ruck and maul the ball, just keep it down, keep it dead until you've actually got a really clear line of where you can get it to, handball it to a player, and they've got a free, like a clear kick out so you can control the ball. And in terms of that ball on the line, they needed to do like a rugby line out. And Phillips needed to grab one of our light players and, like, hoist him up in the air so that they could touch that ball so it wouldn't go over the line.
Just arch your back and let a specky. Let someone – is there a rule against that? I know you're not
allowed to. Slightly disappointed no one climbed the point post as well, to, you know, Dane Rampy style.
That's right.
Someone up there pelvic thrusting the post, mini-me style, that could have been the difference.
Correct. It's repeating my joke, but good point.
No, it's a callback to your joke.
Callback, yes.
I think our defensive coaches have got some work to do this week. I think on goal line tactics. You know, throw someone up in the air. Maybe that's what Snelling is good for, Christina. You know, throw him up.
Circus style. Get him on the. You know, build those.
Maybe a cannon.
Put around on heads. Whatever they need to do.
Your internet's also really poor, Christina, which is, again, this is all in keeping for a throwback episode or when we've got an OG that we have bad audio. I find any suggestion of dwarf throwing highly inappropriate. I just want to say that.
Because
he is a dwarf.
You've changed.
Yeah. You know, it was funny because where, from my vantage point, I was kind of on the wing, second level, but it looked like the ball had not cleared the goal line. But then you saw the Port players celebrating, you just knew. It was like a knife in the fucking heart.
Mm. Awful. We couldn't see it where we were. We were more in the Essendon wing on the ground level, so we were at the opposite end. So, we had to wait till the score review.
It was hard to tell watching on TV because the celebration was quite confident, but they usually are. But they celebrated straight away, which was a bit of an indicator. But, it was quite clear-cut, wasn't it? It wasn't a controversial decision per se. It was just a shitty decision.
That's right, exactly. All right. Well, shall we move to I should say, anything else on the game before we...
No, I mean, because I haven't been on for a while, I think from what I've seen from Brad Scott, and I was one of the, I don't know, for me, and I'm curious about how you guys think, for me sometimes it's hard to separate the coach, a player in their playing days, and then your impressions of them as they transition either into a coaching role or into a media role. And I must say Brad Scott and Chris Scott have, my impressions and my feelings about them as players have really changed to them as coaches. And Brad Scott is one of them. Even in his I didn't like him as a coach either at North Melbourne from his.
Remember what he used to do to James Hurd?
Yeah, yeah, that. And I think injured players, I recall the footage of him and his brother teaming up on, was it Nick Riewoldt when he was injured? Those sorts of things, they never quite leave your mind. And then him carrying on in the coach's box. I think he's making a really conscious effort with us to be less animated in the box. I don't know what you guys think, but I think he's seen a lot of the footage of himself carrying on like a pork chop when he was coaching North. But yeah, point of the long-winded story is I've been really impressed by the level of stability he's brought and the level of consistency week in, week out, which we really haven't had for God knows how long. I can't even remember, to be honest. In all of the coaching transitions we've had, and we've had some terrible ones, let's be honest, the game style has taken a hell of a lot longer to kick in. And if I look at McRae's success at Collingwood, that was almost instant. Maybe they were in a different place as a list, but I must say I've been really genuinely pleasantly surprised and have a level of optimism that I don't remember having as an Essendon supporter. For even though we lost yesterday, I mean, we lost in a kick after the siren, and we shouldn't lose the context that we were contending against what one of the top two flag contenders and almost pinched the game off them. So that's my takeaway from this game, is we've got a lot to be optimistic about, I think, as a fan of this club that we haven't really had for ages.
There's a measured, very level-headed, un-Winsock-like take there. But you're spot on, Apprentice.
Thanks, yeah, and maybe I won't be back. So if this is my legacy, and it may nosedive, to use a Bomber reference, but having reflected on the OG podcast last week or the week before, I think about where we were when we were doing our cast solutions.
Oh, my God.
Mark, man. Yeah, we did one live during a press conference to announce the sanctions, I think, you know. Or at least we recorded it. It wasn't a live pod per se, but if I reflect on those days, that cloud is, yeah, thankfully moved on.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. Thank God they're no longer available online, those podcasts.
Really?
Yeah. They were, there were some dark, dark days. But,
by choice? No, or have they been purged?
I don't know. I think when I shut down the Podbean site, I lost them all. That's probably a good thing. Probably a good thing. There's some songs of the week that should never, ever rear its head. I couldn't find Melky Drives Me Crazy. Yeah. I'm so disappointed.
I'm not. That was terrible. My ears are still recovering from that one. Anyway, that was my I guess, optimistic rant. My apologies.
Oh, yeah. I think the calmness and that he's got over the club, but also the confidence he's given the players. We would have capitulated last year, within the first 10 minutes of the first quarter. But we're getting to know now that this team are willing to fight and they'll keep fighting. And we did it without Sam Draper, our number one ruckman, as well. So, and we've had a lot of injuries, so he's probably the best thing that's happened to this club in a long time. And I think the only way is up.
Baby. good song. Who was that? Yaz. That's right. I wonder where Yaz is these days. All right. I agree, by the way, for my 20 cents, I think I said it on the OG podcast, very happy with us stumbling into Scott. Yeah, that's what we did. So,
and we dodged the bullet. And we dodged the bullet because remember we wanted to pinch Clarkson at the at the last minute. I mean, fuck! Imagine the shit show that would have been gathered around our club had we managed to get one up on North, because that's what it was trying to do basically, and pinch Clarkson. I mean, shudder to think what where that sliding door would have taken us.
Man, we dodged a hail of bullets. Oh, we did. Can you imagine?
Apparently he's coming back. in a couple of weeks.
Yes. So, Dushan Deity has also returned to popular acclaim. Everyone's happy about it. So, have you got nomination? My nomination is the dickhead who came to my door today and was complaining about hard rubbish. I'm going to give you, again, Apprentice, you can award, but have you got any nominations, Christina?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I have two nominations. One is Elon Musk and whatever the hell he's doing with Twitter. You are a dick, Elon Musk. Whatever it is, whether you've stuffed it up, whether you're doing it on purpose to get more people to pay for your blue ticks, whatever it is, just get the stupid thing back online. And the other nomination is Solution for standing up. My sister and I, we organised. Solution went, oh, I'd be interested to meet your sister. I'm like, yeah, sure, she might come to a game. And I said, right, she's coming to the Port game. Should we meet up for drinks beforehand? He's like, yeah, yeah. So I messaged him Saturday morning. Said, okay, we'll be at this place at this time. Didn't hear from him till about 2 hours before the game, saying, oh, I'm going to dinner before the game. I probably won't get there in time. And my sister's like, right. So I've come all the way from the Mornington Peninsula because I was told that Solution wanted to meet her.
All right, well, let's go back a step. Firstly, on Elon Musk, I'm sure all the advertisers that pour money into the platform are delighted that he's driven traffic off his platform. So I'm sure there will be an about face shortly. Yeah, no, because we've had lots of banter between your sister and the podcast members and us, and she's like a unofficial member of the podcast. So it would have been great to meet her. And yes, unfortunately, when you're relying on, people might feel this is a cop out, relying on men to organise things. Yeah, it didn't quite work out. I'm sorry, Ange. She came to watch the game. Didn't she come to watch Essendon?
Well, she did. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and, okay. A sister's night out,
yeah.
Game for G, because we don't have one for a while, probably not until Collingwood. So, it's drinks on you, Solution.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I definitely owe her a drink. All right, let's move on.
Look at that hair. Look at that hair. Christina, I mean, it takes time to get ready for Solution. So in his defense, you can't just leave the house just, like that. It's a bit of time and effort is needed, right, Solution?
Do you really want to go down the Dutch hair route?
Mate, the hair gel sales in the Netherlands has been literally rock solid for years. The amount of product, and I think I'm guilty of that.
Exactly right.
The listeners don't have the advantage of the vision. Thank God.
Yeah, but, I thought Soul Glow was a fictitious hair product, but apparently, based on what I'm seeing, apparently it's real.
Hey, Solution, this is about you, not me. This is about you standing up, avid listeners of the fan of the cast. Not about my hair product choices,
You did go down that path. But, all right, Elon Musk's not a bad nomination. Have you got some nominations?
I have a couple, if I may, and I'll make it as quick as I can. Did the CEO of the Ocean Gate, Stockton Rush, which is such a wanky name as well, but rest in peace, of course, did he get nominated? Because some of the videos that have come out in the last few days of interviews that he's done, my God, quite amazing and shocking around. Have you guys seen any of it?
No, please tell me.
I've seen relatively recent interviews of him sitting in the ill-fated vessel where he's making comments, they said we shouldn't do it and yada yada, and it's nothing like a bit of creative engineering and pragmatism. And he went on to say that couldn't solve the problem. And he went on to say, this I bought from basically Mitre 10. These parts I bought from Mitre 10. No. They used a controller from basically almost like a Bluetooth wireless controller to actually control the vessel.
Jeez.
So shonky.
It makes a Winsock 2000 look sophisticated.
If the Winsock 2000 was involved, then it'd still be happy days. We wouldn't even know about this whole thing. But yeah, mate, that terrible, terrible stuff. The other nomination is the third umpire from the Ashes test, Stark's catch, which was clearly a catch, reversing that correct decision from the actual umpire. That was ludicrous. I mean, the guy caught it, controlled it, and then put his hand on the ground as he was sliding. I mean, outrageous that you can reverse that that decision. That was just unbelievably poor call from the third umpire.
Yeah, Ricky Ponty made it was basically making the point. Like, guys catch it and throw it up in the air.
Yeah.
Throw it over their heads. What, they don't... It's not play on. It's just a ridiculous decision and, an attempt to try and get Bazball back up, but it's not going to work.
More like Spazball.
Yes. Yeah. Love it. Again, not necessarily politically correct, but...
No.
But, yeah, Spazball is fairly apt.
I think it's a missed opportunity for a headline in the Herald Sun.
Well, yeah, big time.
More like Spazball. Oh, that would be fantastic.
It would. I like both of those. The only thing we mentioned about it last week is I questioned whether the guys got a refund because they were supposed to be return tickets.
Yeah, true. Although the contract they had to sign, I think, that's another thing that came out, mentioned death. I think the two pages that they had to sign their life away, basically, mentioned death, I think, numerous times, which would be a bit of a red flag, I would have thought, if you're signing these things. But anyway, yeah, I don't think refunds are on the cards solution.
No, I think they're lawyering up is what they're doing.
For sure.
Yeah, so who wins it?
It's got to be, let's go to the top. Let's go Elon for just general douchebaggery around Twitter, which is not, this is just one of many things, is the whole blue tick thing. I mean, what the hell? It's, you know, get your shit together, mate. I mean, I think they're just switching off servers as well and seeing what happens, marching all their staff. It's, maybe he's just bored and wants to see. I reckon Elon would have a mini Elon as well. Like.
Yeah,
surely. I had that much money, I would have a mini apprentice as well. How could you not?
Correct.
Maybe he's just given the keys to Twitter to mini Elon, mini Musk. Maybe mini Musk is a better
mini Musk.
And just said, here, knock yourself out. Just do what you like with this thing, and that's what it looks like is happening with the whole Twitter thing.
Potentially, I. You know he's bored because he's talking about fighting Mark Zuckerberg in a UFC fight. Have you seen this?
I've seen that. I think Zuckerberg would... I mean, it's the battle of the nerds, big time.
Yeah.
But Elon doesn't have much athletic attributes there, whereas Zuckerberg, I think, at least could run and dodge a bit.
Yeah, but he is a boar, you know, like a South African boar, speaking of Dutch...
So he would fight dirty. He would poke in the eye. He would kick in the balls for sure. I think Elon would be dirty.
Both of them would build like robots to come in and attack each other. So they wouldn't actually do the fighting. They would get some robot to do it for them because that's a more nerdy thing to do.
Yeah, so there's got to be an AI component. AI's got to be in there somewhere.
Yeah. I'll just have a maths off. That's what I thought they'd do. No, very good, very good apprentice. Now, one thing I want to ask you, I know it's been great to have you back. Do you have a favourite windsock moment. So we were talking about the OG moments. Christina, you've been around the podcast for a long time as well, so you can throw this in. My one was when we spammed the Sounding Board podcast with just hundreds of one-star reviews.
That was my favourite too, to be honest. I gave it some thought after you mentioned that one, because I wondered where you were going. That to me was fantastic, because each week I think we would reflect, at least for the first few weeks, and the power of the sock. I was quite blown away, to be honest. But we have missed something. We haven't done the deity.
Oh, beg your pardon.
We've only douched.
All right, do the deity.
Well, I think it's got to be the Ashes team, and both the men and women are kicking ass. So I know this is not a cricket podcast, but both of them are really, I think the whole English cricket scene is kind of, the whole baseball thing was, you know, and the whole criticism of us being traditional, boring, you know, we're winning, and we might win the second test today, likely. Let's hope so. But yeah, then yeah, maybe they can rethink their whole attitude around Test cricket and Ashes in general. So yeah, I think it's going to be that.
Agree, or maybe just talk a bit less. So, like, when it comes to the cricket, I like it, but I don't sit there barracking for Australia. But I have been this series strongly, just because of their arrogance and the way they're carrying on. Do you have a nomination for the deity, Christina? And then do you have a nomination for your favourite podcast moment?
Well, my deity was a bit different. It was the Belgium athletics team. They were competing in the European event. And
speaking of Dr. Evil, by the way, Belgium, there's another Austin Powers connection.
They were, that the hurdler was injured, and if they didn't have someone to race, they would be disqualified from their team event. So their, I think it was shot putter, said, right, I'll do it. I'll compete in the 100-meter hurdles. And she was about twice the size in height and shoulder width of all of the competitors. And the start gun went off, and they were already on her third hurdle, and she was just coming up to the first hurdle and jumping it like any normal human would, with like one leg over the other. And she finished it. The team wasn't disqualified. And Belgium are still in the first division. So my deity nomination was the Belgian shot putter.
That's fantastic. I'm surprised you didn't just run through them, just go, and just like, and just have a shot putter sized hole in each hurdle.
Or pick them up through and them. Like through them.
Yes. So, very good. Yeah. That's a good nomination. You happy with your still the Ashes, or do you want to go the Belgium shot putter?
I think the Ashes. We'll get to the Ashes.
All right.
But I'm going to Google this situation, because that does sound quite entertaining. Yeah.
And have you got a reflection on my favourite one with you? Oh, you go.
No, you go. Yeah.
I was going to say, my favourite one with you was when we did the podcast in the Chinese restaurant. That was so hilarious. And people kept coming in, the squeaky door. And we told the guy, he gave us a back room, and he said, no, you can have this back room. It was kind of like a little, probably where they do, the triads do their dodgy real estate deals. And
allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hilarious. It was hilarious.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that pod, because the door made such a loud, like a crypt. It sounded like a crypt door opening that hasn't been opened for thousands of years, and the screech and the long creak, and then you guys just talked like nothing else was going on. But I don't know if the phallus, if the microphone just picked up that noise somehow, but it was quite amazing that you just were so old. I was going to say consummate professionals, maybe not, but you just plowed through. you know, the odd slurp of corn soup, Chinese corn soup. But it was a great podcast. I really enjoyed that one. Sorry, Christina.
The phallus did pick up it. Did pick up everything. That's for sure. Unfortunately.
Ah, no, it was probably that one. I mean, in 2013, when we started listening, it was kind of the highlight in the week, listening to the pod, because everything else was so shit that it was just good to listen to something where, you know, was a bit of a laugh, people having a rant, and could listen to some songs of the week. So, yeah. That was kind of just that whole year, I think, was a good memory for the pod.
Yeah, no, it was cathartic, that's for sure. Yeah. All right. So, Apprentice, thanks for joining us. You can you jump on again occasionally? What time is it over there now?
It's 10 o'clock. Sunday morning over here.
Okay.
Yeah, happy to. If you'll have me back, absolutely. Yeah, this is lots of fun, guys. So thanks for the opportunity. And yeah, definitely happy to come back as a cameo guest spot every now and then.
Brilliant. Love it. Brilliant.
And I'm enjoying listening too, guys. And I think it's cause my internet drops out just at the end.
Yeah, just when you get to say something nice.
Exactly. I've enjoyed the song of the week. That's maybe the most controversial thing. You know, it's great that you've dusted off the guitar and you're doing it against Solution. Really enjoying it, mate. So keep up the great work.
Thanks, mate. So speaking of which, did you have a listen to... So this week's song of the week is to Bob Seger's Night Moves, which... Unbelievably, Christina had not heard of, apparently, but it's Coach Moves, and it's about our wonderful coach and the fact he actually moves people, unlike our former two coaches. Did you have a listen?
Yes, I did have a listen, and no, it's very good, very good. Yeah, can I just say that I'm an '80s child. Like, I know everything about '80s music, but anything prior. Like, I know a little bit prior to that, but any stuff like that, not my deal.
Okay. So nothing prior and nothing after.
Oh, after, yeah. But that guy, I've got no idea who he is.
Yeah, so see, I'm not... I wasn't around when the Beatles were doing their albums, but I know them. But anyway, that's your choice.
Well, my parents bombarded us with Gold FM back when Gold FM played songs from the 60s and 70s. Now it plays stuff from 90s and 2000s, which is sad in itself when you realise that Nirvana's on Gold FM and the Foo Fighters, etc. But I really enjoyed it, mate. I think Sweeper made a really nice compliment to your last in the OG podcast Solution. The intro was really good. Typical Sweeper comment there. No, I think this song matched your vocal range a bit better as well.
Yeah, see this is what I do try and do is I try and match the vocal style of the singer. So when I did the Kinks, I kind of did the Kinks. But yeah, I obviously have an extremely limited range. So, but you know, welcome to try a song, Christina. I know you do, you can sing. Feel free to...
Doesn't mean I can write lyrics or play any instrument.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll do a collab. But, yeah, anyway, thanks to everyone that listened. Thanks, Prentice, again, for coming along. Thanks, Christina. Check out Something About Cake, our sponsor. And to Apprentice's words, bit of perspective, it's a young team. We're going in the right direction, and let's crawl back off the ledges. Let's put down the bottle of laundry detergent or whatever it was we were going to skull. Yeah, let's move on to next week when hopefully we win. So thanks to everyone that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Go Bombers. Hey guys.
Go Bombers.
Happened early in the first few rounds. Losing by 20 points, then what are we found? He was a black head coach with a big moon face. At quarter time, he ran down the race. Went to the players, Menzie and Weed. And what I saw, I just couldn't believe. He was holding the clipboard way up high. And to my shock, the magnets did slide. And then I realized, we've got a coach who makes moves. Doesn't sit around waiting to win or lose. We got a coach who makes moves. But we still kick long to Snelling. Oh yeah, we kick long to Snelling. I woke last night to the sound of thunder. I was dreaming about earlier seasons and then I wondered. Thinking about Truck back in 2022. He never, never, ever, ever made a move. But now we got a coach who makes moves. Doesn't sit around waiting to win or lose. We got a coach who makes moves. But we still kick long to Snelling. Oh yeah, we kick long to Snelling.